Please grab your Bibles, the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. As we continue on our study of 1 John, getting down to the end here. And 2 weeks ago, when we wrapped things all up in chapter 4, in here he talks about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. That in here we are overcomers in this world. Now, in this world we have troubles and we have tribulations. But praise God, we are not alone. That in this we have Christ Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is on our side, who holds us, who is greater than any conflict or strife we have in our lives. And folks, as we cling to that, we can have victory. We can have victory. You know, the whole book of 1 John struggles with the idea of what's a Christian look like. If truly I have accepted Him as my Savior, if I've given Him my whole heart and my life, what does that look like as I live it out? You just sing that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And in this life, we have a mediator who's always available. And then beyond that, beyond this life, we have a hope that nothing can take away. And as Christians, that should transform us. And so in light of this, he gets down here, John does, in chapter 5, and starts talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is an exciting sermon, because my job is just to talk about Jesus this morning. How good is that? You know, some days I get up here and okay, this is things you should do, and these are some things you can't do, and sometimes it's stepping on toes, and it's like, all right, Lord, just give me the grace, the preacher word. This is an easy one. All I got to do is talk about Jesus. And He is who He says He is. I just need to hang on by faith. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading here. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 6. We're going to read down to verse 13. It says, this is He who came by water and the blood, Jesus Christ. Not only with water, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written unto you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to reveal Jesus this morning. Lord, stir within our soul a love and a passion for you, Lord. Lord, I pray, show us yourself this morning. Amen. First of all, I want to start off here in verse 9. He starts talking. He says, look, we understand the idea of witnesses. You know, what happened? Growing up, we had four boys and one girl in our house, and things happened in our house. Things got broken. Things came up missing. And my mom had a very smart tactic right off the bat, because my sister was 5 years older and she was pretty shrewd. And so sometimes she would gather us all up together and say, "Here's the story." And she said, "Okay, when mom asks you, this is what you would say." And as a young'un, I was just a sensitive soul. And I didn't want to lie, and I didn't want to, and so I tried sometimes, because my sister would threaten to beat us up. She was tough. And she would, and she's like, "If you don't fall in line, you're in trouble." Well, my mom, very early on, learned to divide us up. She says, "John, you go in this room. Trina, my sister, would go into this room, and my other brother would go in this room," and she would divide us up, and she'd go room to room and say, "What happened?" Right? My mom was pretty smart. And undoubtedly, I would get down through, and she'd say, "John, what happened?" And I would, for fear of my sister, start telling the lie, but I could never get it right, And then finally, he's like, "I'm so sorry." I'm just blah, all out. But going here, getting the idea of talking to each one of us kids, by piecing together all the pieces, she got the truth, right? In the court of law. You go up and you call the witnesses. "What happened?" "Well, I saw this and I saw that." And by these many witnesses, the truth was established. Actually, the Old Testament, the Jewish law says, look, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. You had to have at least two, if not three, collaborating witnesses to an event in order to persecute someone. And so John has this mindset. He goes on through here. In verse 9, he says, look, if you believe the testimony of men, if you're able to believe what people tell you, which we do, then how much more so should we believe what God has said? Because God is greater. So in here, John starts talking about, look, what has God revealed? What has He revealed? What does He show us? That's around. And the answer is the Son of God, who is Jesus. I tell you, pretty much any question I ask you, just say Jesus and you'll be right this morning. All right, I'll make it easy for you. The Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus created all things, and He is witnessed by these things. Romans chapter 1 says, look, even the unsaved can look around and see the beauty and the majesty and the complexity of all creation, and it points to Jesus. That's an exciting thing. Talking with the kids at club, and I had a little watch. I said, if I put all these pieces in here, shake it up, is a watch going to magically come together? No. I can shake it for a million years and that watch is not going to go back all together. How much more complicated are you and I? The complexity of it all points to the testimony that there is a God and that He loves you. And all roads lead to Jesus. I shared with you all that. My initial thing, I wanted to grow up and I wanted to be a science teacher. So I went down to college to be a biology teacher. And you look at the creation and all this, and it is just God's handprints are all over it. I always thought, I think it was neat, giraffe. I love giraffes. Actually, at our house, if you drive by or head to the cemetery, I have a 10-foot, not real giraffe, but a wooden giraffe in our yard. And it's interesting because of the neck being so long, the heart has to be so strong to pump that blood all the way up there. But there's a problem with that much blood pressure, and it's going on. It's fine when the giraffe's neck is up, but when the giraffe's head goes down, all that blood would run right to its brain and would kill the animal. Well, that's not good. So the giraffe has a little valve in his artery in his neck. That when the neck goes down, that valve shuts off, so the blood flow stops to the brain. Keeps it from being under that pressure. Now, wait a minute, that sounds like a problem. No, because the giraffe has almost like a little blood sponge. It stores blood. So when the giraffe bends down, that valve closes up, and the brain feeds off the blood that's in this little sponge until it lifts its head back up, and the valve opens up, and it all works wonderfully. Did that happen by chance? No. It's the handprints of God. Creation tells us that there's a God. And it's testimony of that. The testimony of love speaks of God. What I mean by that is, you know, I remember being younger and thinking, boys, you know, 40 is old. I love talking to these kids at club, and you're like, you know, you're just old. And I remember thinking, man, you know, 40 is going to be way over the hill. Well, I'm a little bit beyond. It's amazing how the older you get, the further the hill gets, you know. It's like 50? Oh, that's not over the hill. You know, 60's looking young now. You know, it's going on each year. It's like, oh, wow. And I talked to a gentleman whose wife passed away not that long ago. They've been married 40-some years. And he talks about he can't wait to go home to see her up in heaven. He goes, married 40-some years. He goes, that's not long enough to be with people you love. How many of us have loved ones that, you know what, we can't wait to see? And aren't you glad that this lifetime isn't just it? There's going to be an eternity that we can sit down with those that we love. And we know that. Why? Because it's a testimony of love. God all around us has declared the answer is Jesus Christ. And how much more so, if we believe the testimony of men, should we believe the testimony of God? And in here, have that conviction in our hearts and in our minds. 1 John chapter 5, just go back to verse 6, please, if you will. He uses a phrase here that I want to explain to you. It says, verse 6, it says, this is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. John pulls up two events here in Christ's life that declares and broadcasts that He is God. He is who He says He is. That His love never fails. That His power never runs out. That He can be trusted and He can be relied upon. And he points to these two events, one talking about water and the other talking about His blood. He says, what are we talking about of water? I believe here that John is referring to as Jesus starts off His ministry. As Jesus starts off His ministry, He comes to the River Jordan, and there's a gentleman there named John. I like that name. John, you like that name? Yeah. And down in the river is John the Baptist, who is baptizing, declaring the Messiah is going to come. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Israel's king is going to come. And many came. On that one day, Jesus comes over the hill and comes down. He comes down into the water, and John says, No. Jesus, you should be baptizing me. Jesus says, let it happen today. As Jesus starts off His ministry, we see that He comes down in obedience, goes into the waters of baptism, and comes up. And take a look here in the book of Matthew chapter 3. The events unfold here in Matthew chapter 3. And as they come down to the water, Jesus goes under. And as he comes up, this is the scene. In verse 16, he says, "And I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We talk about the testimony of God. You know, there's people out there that say, well, Jesus was just a good teacher. He was more than that. That he was just a good moral example. He is more than that. That here, as Jesus starts off his earthly ministry, God takes his stamp of approval and puts it on Jesus Christ himself. That the Holy Spirit comes upon him. That in here, the Father cries out from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Folks, this morning as we talk about Jesus, he is the Son of God. He is the apple of God the Father's eyes. And he came to minister for you and for me. That's who we serve this morning. Not just a teacher, not just a philosopher, but the Son of God. And John says here in chapter 5 that, look, he came in water. Through the waters of baptism, when you see, he declares who he says he is. Folks, daily we should cry out to him. You don't know what to do? Cry out to Jesus. Why? Because he is who he says he was. That in that point of ministry we have, that declaration, to listen to what he says. To do what he asks us to do. Someone asked me just this past week how long I've been pastoring. I've been pastoring now for 22 years. Doesn't seem possible. There's some friends here that's with us. You guys were in the second church. I was just a greenhorn back then. And I went off and started preaching and teaching because I felt God wanted me to do. But I never had a declaration like this. How much more so should we listen to the testimony of God? But not only does he turn around and say, look, not only by the baptism of water, right? He says of water and of what? Of blood. What's the blood we're talking about? It's interesting, as Jesus was coming in for baptism, John turns around and says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away what? The sins of the world." As Jesus went into the water, the declaration of God, the purpose of his coming is to take away our sins. Folks, the problem in our life is the sin that we have. It brings us away from God. James tells us that death is brought about because of sin. It destroys our relationships. It destroys our bodies. We live in a fallen world. All creation groans, it tells us in the book of Romans. And so in here, as we look at these issues and look at these problems, the answer is Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Folks, Jesus is your answer. And he testified it in the waters of baptism. But not only that, but also of blood. See, Jesus is who he said he is. He came to do what he asked, what the Father asked him to do. To save us from our sin. To save us from the consequences of the sin. To to save us from the despair of sin, to save us from the shame of sin. Now, whatever we're going through in life, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. Oh, how I need to go to Him. Turn to Him for all my cares and all my needs. That here we turn around and we have the testimony, just as we have at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we have that declaration at the end of Jesus' ministry. As Jesus was brought before Pilate and dragged from court to court, as He was scourged and beaten, as a crown of thorns were crammed upon His head, as the robe was thrown upon His beaten and bruised back, the Bible says He kept His mouth shut. Any moment He could have said, enough. But because of His love for you, He continued. Amazing love. He carried the cross up the hill. They laid Him down and took nails and put it through His hands. Through His feet. For you. They raised Him up. They mocked Him. And at that moment, as Jesus was about ready to die, the Scripture tells us in Matthew 27... So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." At that moment, as Jesus was bearing your sin and my sin upon the cross, the sky grew dark as our sins were taken upon Him. As He was giving up the Spirit, the earth shook. The Scripture tells us the temple veil was ripped in two, not from the bottom up, from the top down. The declaration of God is that this is my Son. It's an old hymn that says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." The burden that He took was yours and mine. Oh, how He loves us. Wednesday night we were going through 100 verses that every Christian should know. This week was this the verse, Romans 5:8. Many of you know this. "But God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us." I love this verse because it reminds me, you know what? No matter what condition I was, Jesus loves me. You know, over the years, people have said, "You know, you don't understand, Pastor, what I've done." No, maybe I don't, but Jesus does, and He still loves you. "You understand the past that I've done. You understand the guilt. You understand the shame. You don't understand all these things." No, I don't, but Jesus does, and He loves you still the same. Come to Him. Or over the years, as a Christian, how many times have I failed Him? How many times has He said, "Have faith in me," and I let go? How many times have I doubted His love, His wisdom, His sovereignty. I'm glad none of you have ever done that. This verse says, look, while we were still in our sin, He died for us. I am thankful that the God that loves me, that Jesus Christ who gave His life for me, as He looked down in eternity and saw my birth, He saw my conversion, and He saw each one of my failures from eternity past. Saw it all. And He loved you and I anyways. So much so that He gave His life. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. The testimony of Jesus is in His water and in the blood. In His baptism, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have that testimony at the end of His love for us. How dare I doubt? How dare I fear? When this is the Jesus who holds you, the times I let go of Him, He never let go of me. And folks, as Christians, that should excite us. That should empower us to live for Him. So we have the testimony of the water. We have the testimony of the blood. The last one I want to look at here is to accept that testimony. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 9, if you will, please. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified in His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Folks, when you accepted Christ's forgiveness of your sins, when you've asked Him into your life and given Him your life, He has come into your life. You have a testimony that you can declare. That through my life, there's been times when He's answered my prayers. There's been times in my life when He says, just trust me. And there's times in my life where I just had to hang on. God, I don't know what You're doing. But the Jesus who is testified through Scriptures, is a Jesus that can be trusted. And in this thing, in our lives, we have that testimony that plays out. That I look at my life and I can't imagine going through the things that I've gone through or the things that you've gone through and going through them alone. This is the testimony that we have that Jesus never fails. Of the difference He makes in our lives. And in this, we know that we belong to Him. Verse 11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. Folks, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, not only are you promised in this lifetime, but the lifetime to come. One of the most exciting things about being a Christian isn't necessarily all the blessings I have now. I'm thankful for them. God is good to me. He gives me more than I deserve. But folks, I know how my story ends. I look at the news and see the turmoil, and I see the strife, and I see the despair, and I see the hopelessness. I see that people are turning to drugs and alcohol and other ways to escape from this world. Let me tell you something. There's no better escape from this world than getting on my knees and being in the presence of God. All through Jesus. That through faith in Him and what He's done, not only did He die on the cross for me and ascend on high, but someday He's coming back. The hope I have in Jesus is a lasting hope. And that changes everything. Through Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation tells us as the veil is unpulled back and we see the battle between good and evil, John here writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "And He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their" what? By their word or their what? Testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. By the word of our testimony. Folks, there are times in our lives where maybe we need to remind ourselves, Jesus, I'm so glad I have You. Maybe there are times in our lives when we need to share with others. Look, the hope I have is that Jesus is in my life. The hope that I have is that, look, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. They have a place prepared for me. There's going to be a day of no more pain and no more sorrow. I praise God through the testimony of what Christ has done in my life. I'm not what I used to be. The power of their testimony.